Okay, welcome to the ASH, Arizona State Hospital IOC Committee meeting. It's January 19th, 2023. It is now 6:05 and we're going to begin the meeting. Welcome. And before we begin, does anyone have a disclosure of conflict of interest?
Yes, I believe I do. This is Dee.
Okay. And you know, whenever we bring up a topic that's your conflict of interest, that you do not vote.
Stay quiet.
Okay.
Yeah, got it.
Thank you, Dee. Okay, any others? Okay, has everyone had a chance to review the meeting minutes?
I have.
Yes.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve, or are there any edits that are needed?
Motion to approve.
I'll second that. This is Dee.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The meeting minutes are approved. And Larry, I really liked the new meeting minute recording translation. I just had to make some corrections before I had sent them out. So that's a big help.
No problem. I'm happy to do so.
Thank you. So any update from ADOA?
One quick update. With the new governor, Governor Hobbs, coming into office, she has appointed a new director at ADOA, and her name is Elizabeth Thornton. She has been Director Tobin's deputy director for several years prior to being appointed, so she's very familiar with the ins and outs of how ADOA operates, and so it should be a seamless transition for us.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Other than that, Lori, I don't have any other updates. If there's any other questions that I could answer from the committee, I'd be happy to do so.
Any questions for Larry from the committee?
No.
Okay. Any other IOC members on this call? And if so, would you like to give an update from other IOCs? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on. We really didn't have any action items as the administration was participating in the call, not that I recall. So I think we can move on to follow up on previous or ongoing discussions. Does anyone have anything that they'd like to follow up on? Okay. I did have a suggestion from a committee member. It wouldn't be follow-up, so it'd be under new business, so we'll do it later. Okay. Any administration update?
Hey, Lori, it's Mike. Thanks for letting me jump in. I don't have anything to update right now. I'm going to just kind of piggyback on what Mr. Allen said a second ago. Regarding oversight of the administration. So Governor Hobbs did nominate our new director for ADHS. It's Dr. Teresa Cullen. My understanding, is that she is scheduled to begin effective on February 20th of this year. And she is just wrapping things up with her current position as the director of public health for Pima County. So we're very excited to have her on board.
Coming on board. Okay. Well, that's good news. The other thing I was going to ask, I know that I was unable to go to the civil forum that was today, right? Today or yesterday, because I had a conflict. I had a trustee meeting.
Both of them.
Yeah. So how did that go today?
I was able to attend for approximately half of it. I had a conflicting meeting. From the part I did sit in on, I think it went fairly well. We had good attendance, approximately 7 to 10 patients were in attendance. A couple kind of came and go, came and went as the meeting progressed. But Lisa was there for the entire duration, so she may have some more insight on the content.
Thanks. Yeah, I was there for the meeting. Tara facilitated it, and we had some administrative participation and a good participation from our civil patients. One of the themes was just about programming, wanting programming that is, available on the units. A couple people talked about wanting church services more. So Tara's following up with our rehab. She had already followed them up prior to our last civil forum 3 months ago. And we know that Scott and his team are working to enhance programming both on the units and in the rehab areas like the gym and the PAC unit. So that was a theme. Some of the patients just talked about just communication with staff members. So we'll continue to kind of work on that. And then there were some individual clinical things that patients brought up that Tara will be, following up with confidentially with them and their treatment teams.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now I had two neurons fire and I remembered what it was and follow up. I think that Dr. Woods put together a presentation for the patients discussing what the transition to the Superior Court was going to be, right? And I believe that we're going to send that to the committee or present that information or distribute it.
Oh, I can get that to Lisa. If you don't have it handy, I'll get it to you so you can send it over.
Okay. That'd be great. Have patients started going back to court, or are they still working out the bugs?
Courts. It's up to them, their lawyers, and the courts. The hospital's no longer filing for forward progression. We're still having SEC, and we're still giving them documentation to support moving forward if we support them moving forward. But that documentation is sent to their lawyer, and it's up to their lawyer to file with the courts. And the courts, and then it's up to the courts as to when those get scheduled. So we have as little knowledge about how that's going to happen as anybody else. We are a party, so we are informed when a court date is set. But other than that, that's it. We provide the information if the hospital is in support of forward progression to the patient's attorney, and then it's out of our hands.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Woods.
Lori, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to also add, Dr. Woods is absolutely correct. Also, we have completed the work internally at the state hospital as far as the infrastructure support. So we are ready to go to do video hearings if and when the courts notify us that they are ready to begin that process.
Okay. Thank you, Michael Sheldon. As far as COVID status and progression, are things better? Has it settled down to where the units are back to full activities, full rehab and group?
Yes, Lori, that is accurate. Forensics had a bit of a blip back in November, I want to say that it was, but as of right now, there are no active COVID cases at the state hospital, and we are operating as expected.
We did have a brief outbreak of COVID on the unit where we have the patients who do go out on passes and we keep them separate on their own unit. So we won't have outbreaks on other units, but because they did have COVID on that unit, they had to be quarantined until it cleared.
Okay, thank you for the update. Overview of incident and accidents. Again, looking at the perpetrator graph again, it seems like you have certain individuals that are responsible for the bulk of the activity of incident accidents and assaults. And it was broken out, interestingly, by both patient on peer, or patient on staff. It seems like a few of the individuals attack staff as well as patients, and then some individuals and these are on the top perpetrators, some of them seem to only attack other patients. Okay, as far as going through the incident and accident reports, we got them late this time, just like 2 days ago, but I went through them. It seemed like it was more of self-harm, some assaults, nothing that stood out as real different or stood out as needing more looking into. One that I was going to mention just as I pulled a few to discuss was Ash 2022-4775, and it was an attempted AWOL. But in this case, it was on the civil unit, and it wasn't AWOL out of the main gates or the door or anything. It was out of their unit. They shouldn't have been off unit, and they pushed through, which caused a code, let's see, code green, and the person was trying to get out of the unit into the civil mall. But that was handled. Was there any staffing shortages that led to this? I mean, usually, I remember they used to have a staff in front, and then patients would line up, and a staff in back when people were going. Or was this just, reading, the patient was being escorted to the barber for a haircut. Okay. And from what I can read here, was it another patient? Since everything's blacked out, was it another patient, not the one going for a haircut, that pushed through?
I'm sorry, Lori, could you give me that number again? I can do some digging and tell you for sure.
It was.
Yeah, I'm reading it right now, too.
Okay. Lisa, if you have those details, go ahead.
Well, one thing I can share with you, Lori, is that as we code these, that you're correct, this was not an AWOL. So that type that's still listed in there should not be indicated as an AWOL. It was not coded as an AWOL. And one other thing we've begun doing in late December, so moving forward, as the exec team reviews incident reports every morning, we look at the staffing on the units where incidents occurred. So we'll be able to have that information in our minutes as to whether or not there was any staffing. The last several days, there have been no incidents in which, actually for about the last 3 weeks, there have been no incidents in which staffing was a factor. But it looks like the patient that was put in a hold is the patient that AWOL'd.
And was that the same patient that was going to get to the barber for a haircut, or was it someone else that pushed through?
It was a different patient that was going to the barber, and then this patient forced his way out while the other patient was going to the barber.
Okay. Yeah, when it's blacked out, it's hard to tell which one it is. Okay. Thank you for the clarification. The next one is Ash 2022-4896, and this was an assault between two patients. And in this one, the patient that was assaulted was talked to and asked if they were offered to move to a different side of the unit to be separated, but the patient declined the separation. So, you know, I just wondered, you can't make someone move, but what happens if that patient, if the aggressor continues to attack the patient? Do you move the aggressor, or maybe the patient just didn't want to move to another unit?
It's really dicey, Lori. So both could be the case. So if the patient does not want to move, but we sense that there is a increased likelihood that that person may be assaulted in the future because of the aggressive activity peer on peer, we may just move the patient to the other side as a precaution. But we always got to play it safe, because for all we know, there may be another patient on that other side of the unit who has also targeted that same patient in the past. So it's really, it's a game of Tetris that we're playing all the time to make sure that we're doing what we can to keep everybody safe all the time, and moving people as appropriate.
Okay. Thanks. That's what I thought, but the patient was offered. I just know that you don't have limitless movement and combinations, right? The next one was Ash 2022-4914. There was an incident when it was a patient on another patient, and then a patient was moaning from the interaction, and when the behavioral health tech or the person went to talk to them, two rovers that were making rounds, and they saw this, and he had a bloody nose, and a code was called. They said that I assume it was other patient, was put in a hold and escorted to seclusion, and I assume the blacked out was the patient with the bloody nose was brought to the treatment room to clean up the blood and make sure that they were okay. But then it says afterwards escorted to the ER. So was it determined that they needed further evaluation from the bloody nose that got them sent to the ER, I assume?
I'm looking at the reviews that are in quality in that same IR that you're referring to, Lori, but that may be something that would be followed up in the patient's medical record.
Oh,
but certainly I think out of the abundance of caution, the decision was made to have him checked out but I'm looking to see if the nurses gives anything specific. It does not. The nurses' review does not give anything specific as to why he was sent out. But again, that's captured and coded. So we track when assaults result in the need for medical treatment or first aid.
Okay. And the next one was Ash 2022-4922. In this situation, it was a patient assault on staff. And what was the patient appeared to have some... They were agitated and psychotic and responding to internal stimuli. But what was interesting in reviewing the recommendation was review the behavioral plan. And it's hard to redirect this specific patient when they have their MP3 on. And I couldn't understand, is he more behaved without, or is that what that meant, more behaved without the MP3? So I'm wondering, in that kind of situation, I know the patients like to have music. I just found it interesting that it indicates here that the music may contribute if it says he behaves better without the MP3 player.
I'm sorry, Lori. Could you say that number again, please?
It was... Ash 2022-4922.
And I will say that the nurse that's reflected in the nurse's review, and that is a little bit unusual that to see a review like that in QMS. But the main purpose of QMS is to document the incidences and the responses to the incidents. You know, anybody that needed to be assessed. So that is a little bit of an unusual review, an observation about his response.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard in QM, you know, that would be something else that would most likely be reflected in the patient's medical record.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you. And that's all I pulled out. And we had a couple other things that were sent to us. One was sent to Larry, to the IOC, and I sent it out, and it was a concern from a staff saying that some staff members they didn't feel that they were conducting themselves appropriately. And I know Ash Administration, you got the same email from Larry that we did. Has there been, I know you responded that they've opened an investigation, right?
Yes, we opened a complaint investigation through our Office of Complaints, Grievances, and Appeals. And the investigator that was assigned that case interviewed pretty much everybody on the day shift on that unit, in addition to some of the night shift staff. It was a pretty thorough investigation. And my understanding is there's our human resources office is also looking into it. So anytime we get an allegation like that, you know, we investigate it, we get all the information we possibly can. And if there's compelling indication that there might be anything that would put patients at risk, we'll do an administrative leave for a staff member while we're investigating as well. And that's either a human resource investigation or usually that's when we would do an administrative leave, and the quality investigations are more global, more systemic than focusing on individual staff.
Okay. So it also says it's been forwarded to access for their investigation as well.
Yes, that's our standard practice. Anytime there's an allegation like that, we refer it automatically to access and to Adult Protective Services as well.
Okay. So any questions on the incident and accident reports? Okay. Next, virtual site and forum visits. I don't think anyone was able to go to the forum visit that I couldn't attend. And we didn't have any visits in the last, we didn't have any requests for visits. So I think we can, two other members had conversations with the patients. Anyone else in this last month? Okay. In new business, there was a suggestion or a question whether a guardian database is in use, so you can easily see who has a guardian and all the contacts for easy communication. And I assume that there is some, because I see in a lot of these reports, guardian was notified electronically on this date. But that was a suggestion from one of our committee members.
If I understand the question correctly, Lori, yeah, so we do have the guardianship of our patients, if they have a guardian, documented in our EMR system. There is no like standalone guardian database though. So it's all unique to the individual patient and their health record.
Okay. Committee members, any other questions or comments?
Lori, this is Dee. Mm-hmm. I just was going to say that wasn't just for those patients at the hospital. That was kind of a suggestion as a global thing for the state of Arizona or whatever. That wasn't necessarily specific to them. So, but I appreciate hearing the answer to that question. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Lori. You're very welcome, Dee. I can definitely see how that could be advantageous. I could also see though how that could be a major HIPAA violation to have something like that that people could have access to without necessarily having the need to know that information. But it's
they have a database for opioids, and so the physicians can log on and see who's been prescribing opioids to whom, so they can make sure that they're not double giving prescriptions. And so that would be like the format. It was actually more for like at the state legislature, like maybe setting up something like that. Because as a guardian, and if not for anybody at ASH, my brother, I've had multiple issues with that. It's like a never ending. So it was just a suggestion, like maybe the state legislature could, build a database like they have for the opioid prescriptions. It was just a suggestion, but thank you for listening.
No problem. And that makes total sense. Thank you.
And Dee, I concur. In the days where our son was really not stable, I used to travel, and I'd travel with my guardianship papers, because if he was admitted anywhere, often they would say, well, we don't know you're the guardian. Okay, tell me a fax number or an email and I'll send them right over.
I do that too. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. They never can find them even when you've given them to them. But thanks for talking about that. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, anything else? Ashley, Melissa, Chuck, any other comments, concerns? I'm concerned that I don't have Kay on. She always calls in.
Yeah.
Anything, Melissa?
Oh, no, sorry. I was just saying no. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. So if we have that, we can call for public comments, and then we do have something to talk about in executive session. We were sent email from a patient that asked us to look into retaliation concerns, and it was quite a lengthy email, about 5 pages worth. So we were going to discuss that in executive session. So anything else before we go to public comment? Okay, I'll open it up for public comment.
Did none of the units come in tonight?
No, I don't see any units in.
Wow.
Lori, this is Ashley. There was something that you had said you were going to bring up in new business.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that was already something. I didn't know what it was, so I didn't know if that was already something that you brought up.
Oh, that was the guardianship database.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have any other questions or concerns? We just had a new number join the meeting. I'm not sure if it's a unit or a private party.
Timber Briscoe from Unit Mavi.
Oh, welcome, Tim. We're just at that time for public comments. We didn't have any units on tonight, so we were wondering what was going on.
The operator wasn't answering. I let it ring approximately 10 minutes. I had to have my staff go call the operator to let them answer the phone in the back room where we have this phone, so they could answer it and put us through, because somehow the 347 number is blocked from these phones on some of them, and we have to have operator dial the number for us. So that's kind of they're hindering us kind of on some units. Am I on public comment?
Yes, if you're speaking, you're in public comment. We can't respond, okay. But you can talk.
I'm sorry. I would like you guys to have a virtual site visit with me. There's issues with medical, a shoulder surgery is being denied because of my obesity. And I called Arizona Center for Disability Law. They told me to call back tomorrow because that wasn't a disability. Obesity wasn't a disability. I said, yes, it was. She said, well, we'll talk to an attorney tomorrow, call back. I called, it rang for 35 minutes, and then I hung up. So I'm not having any success on getting any help. Also, the ombudsman here lies to patients. I will tell you guys on the virtual site about that. It's sad. But we did finally get a notary of the public from a private person named Angel's Notary, but I don't know if the hospital's taking care of the bill or if we have to take care of the bill ourselves, which they're still denying me a job. I finally got my full mall after about a year again, but that's about all I got to say. Thank you guys for, I'm sorry I missed it. Would love to hear things. I tried, but you know, when somebody's throwing up roadblocks so you can't get to the phone and call through, it's kind of hard.
Okay. Thank you. Do you want your meeting, your name in the meeting minutes?
Most definitely.
Is there anyone else from the public that would like to speak? Okay. And
everybody have a wonderful weekend and be safe.
Thank you. Okay, so we are going to end the public call and adjourn to executive session.
Lori, I'm sorry. I'm just for the minutes, I'm following up right now with that issue with the operator, and we're going to take care of this. I sincerely apologize if that was the case.
Thank you, Mike. I was going to bring that up, but then I thought I'd violate open meeting law.
As soon as you said public comment period was over, I jumped in.
Okay, thanks. Okay, thank you very much, because that is a concern. Maybe they can figure it out by next meeting.
Yeah, I sincerely apologize if that was the case.
Okay. And I can, we can do a call to Kay as a committee member to see. She usually has a handle on things and what, if people want to talk to us, if there was a crowd that wanted to come, we'll follow up with them. Thank you, guys. Everyone that's not part of the committee can drop, and we'll talk about the retaliation letters that came to us. And Larry, you have a copy of that?
I do.
Okay.
Thank you, Lori.
Hey, Lori, have a great night.
You too.
Where would I write to?
Larry, what? Oh, we're done with the meeting. So, Larry, can you give your address for the IOC?
I guess he left.
Sorry, I was on mute.
Okay.
The address is 100 North 15th Ave, Suite 305, Phoenix, Arizona, 85007.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Okay, so Larry, if you can assure that everyone is off that isn't part of the committee meeting. Committee. Who is ending in 1-8?